From the vibrant soul of Sherrianna Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit, a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her guest lineup of authors, healers, educators, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Each week, Sherrianna and her team of experts share remarkable insights about life, spirit, manifesting, and more.
Hey, Just Ask Spirit listeners, are you tired of trying to figure out this manifesting thing? If so, you have got to check out my new book. It's called Energy in Action. And inside, you're going to find 52 manifesting practices to help you ignite your ability to create a life of peace and freedom. And if you're looking for a way to practice these skills with others, you may want to join my weekly Ray of Light membership. This is where we meet virtually to keep our manifesting juices going. Find the book, Energy in Action, and membership at sherriannaboyle.com. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Just Ask Spirit. I'm Sherrianna Boyle. I'm the host of your show, my show. Welcome aboard. This is a show about spirituality and mental health. And today we're going to be talking about confidence, everyone. Yeah. So if you're feeling, I don't know, a little low in the confidence department, well, then you've come to the right place. And remember, all our shows are sponsored by the Just Ask Spirit Marketplace. You can head on over there. We've got some new courses. I'm co-leading some courses there, as well as some books, the sponsors for the show, and some products. And that you can find at sherriannaboyle.com. So my guest is here, Alyssa DeVere. Welcome to Just Ask Spirit.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I couldn't wait for this. I was excited. I actually thought this was yesterday. All day I was thinking I was going to talk to you yesterday. And then all of a sudden I looked at my calendar. I'm like, oh, it's tomorrow. So I'm just, you know, I'm excited. So that says a lot when I start looking forward to talking to someone. You are, you're an author of 8 books.
Yes.
You've done 2 TEDx talks.
Correct.
You have a podcast. That's where we met. The Real Confidence Podcast, everyone. And your website is AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com. So you're really the confidence guru, sort of, right?
I appreciate that. I'd like to think I know a little bit about it. We ground everything in brain science, so we're not the typical motivational kind of rah-rah stuff. So I know we're going to get into it, but at the same time, we have vetted everything through some pretty significant authorities on medically, spiritually, alternative medicine as well, for that matter.
And that's exactly why I wanted to have you on the show. I was eager to have you on the show, and it was really the research that stuck out to me. Tell us a little bit more about your background.
Well, in a nutshell, I started my career product management and then marketing and went up the career ladder, became the chief marketing officer for a couple of different companies. Knew it wasn't really what I wanted to do, right? And I think many people are in that place all the time, let alone these days, going, there's got to be more to work than this. And subsequently, tried a couple different things, ran a consulting business and started a couple software companies. You know, I was like kind of on that mission. And then I had kids, and my son, who is 24 now, at the time was 8, and he was diagnosed with a very scary, lifelong, debilitating neurological condition. And full stop. And it was the kind of thing where we would go from doctor to doctor. We finally got it diagnosed. It took years to do that. Medications, all kinds of stuff was happening. It wasn't working. It was very frustrating. And I got to the desperate point where I'm like, I got to figure this out. So started just getting into brain science and really learning everything I could, talked to everyone I could, read every dissertation I could, and started to put together a body of knowledge that subsequently the experts started calling me, because nobody was really looking at it as a cross-disciplinary question of, you know, how does the brain work relative to confidence, relative to mind and body control? And lots of things happen and aligned, I think, you know, divinely in many ways, to then create the American Confidence Institute in 2015. And things just started to take off from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's fascinating. Tell us about the science, because that's really what I was eager. So we might as well get right into it, Alyssa. What does the science say about confidence in the brain?
Well, a lot of people would claim that confidence is something that you're just born with, or you're lucky to get, or you get it from your parents or some role models, and you do absorb it from the environment. And I will say that, but there's no gene for it. You're not born with the particular chromosome that's confident. So yeah, you certainly will learn it from parents and your environment. And the moral of the story, or really the punchline, is you'll learn confidence. And so if you don't have those role models, or you've had, you know, micro traumas, I would say major trauma is a different issue, but you can learn to still be confident, and you can do it at any age. And the science behind it, really the brain science behind it, if you will, is relatively simple in concept, which is there are things in life, people, situations, things that we do to ourselves. We self-sabotage ourselves all the time. You get up in the morning, you look at any kind of social media, you're already self-sabotaging your confidence, right?
So true.
So, you know, we live through toxic bosses. We have bullies in our life all over, people who are cocky or arrogant, who one up us, one down us. You know, there's just a variety of what we call confidence villains in the world. And they really throw a sense of emotional fear. You might call it psychological liability, like it's the opposite of safety. And our brains respond in one of two ways. The first way is the natural kind of default way, which is to go into survival mode. And the survival mode happens in our brainstem. We're not really thinking, we're reacting. And subsequently, we cower, or we get very aggressive, one or the other. And those are sure tells that somebody's not in a confident place, because they're in their brainstem. The alternative, and it only happens when we're really conscientious of it, and or we've built that muscle to go upstairs. And upstairs into our prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain right behind your forehead, which is where all your thinking actually happens, where all your creativity, innovation, where we calculate and correlate and we make our decisions, including, do I feel confident or not? And I said, feel confident. It's not even really a feeling. It is a decision, yes or no. And so when we are able to do that, when we're able to grab that fear as it's coming in, recognize it, then we can consciously utilize it in a productive way. And so that's what the difference between confident people and not confident people in general is. And you can learn how to be confident by, you know, modeling the behavior that says, look, I don't feel very confident at the moment. Okay, why?
Thank you for pointing that out. And I love the way you talk about the brainstem. And what's interesting to me is that is exactly the part, the brainstem is what the social media targets when they create these algorithms and these systems that they create to get you hooked into checking your social media. They call it, you know, a race to the brainstem, who can get there first, because they know they've got you hooked there. So it's interesting to me that you point that out, that if you can get from there, from the brainstem to the frontal part of the brain, do you want to speak to that a little bit of what you've learned about that?
Oh, sure. And, you know, I mean, anytime, you know, that's why I like used car salesman, like, you know, it's the same technique. It's making you freak out, right? It's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. If any of you are old enough to remember the old IBMism, right? Like fear, uncertainty, doubt, or create the pain, right? Anyone who's in the sales mode, you learn to create pain. And when you do that to somebody, emotional pain, fear of failure, fear of regret, or fear of not fitting in, fear of rejection, any one of those three, again, the natural default thing that we do, it's easier to let it fall into the brainstem. So we freak out, we get irrational, we don't make good decisions down in our brainstem because we don't have the capacity to do it. Your brainstem, from an evolution perspective, in other words, over the course of the human species development really is there to keep you alive, to protect you. So you're breathing, your heartbeat, all the autonomic systems that you're not thinking about, but they have to be online to keep you alive. Brainstem's in charge of that. So when we put people in their brainstem, they're really not in control. They're not thinking, they're reacting. And subsequently, they're going to have remorse, right? Like you buy something and you have that day after, like, what did I do, right? So the game, if you will, the race against it is not necessarily to allow them to get into your brainstem, but to be like, oh, wait a minute, they're trying to get into my brainstem. I'm going to barricade that, right? Not even go down there and really keep control of your brain by staying calm, recognizing that that's what's happening. You know, there's times, Sherrianna, I'm sure everyone who's listening, I'm sure you have had it. I've certainly had it, where somebody gets under your skin, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Definitely. It could be a relative. It could be
a little trigger there. Someone triggers you, right?
Somebody triggers you.
And you're not even sure why. You're like, why is this bothering me so much, right? The trigger. Yeah.
Right. But instead of like stopping and be like, wait a minute, it's a trigger. I'm going to take a deep breath and stay in my prefrontal. We often react. We get defensive. Oh, you know, I didn't say that. Right. Or you start getting shy and you start, you know, shutting down, so to speak, getting even passive or passive aggressive because you are defending yourself. And yet that person probably, whether they intended it or not, they don't deserve to have that control over you. Right. Yeah. So we give it to them. We give it to them. And so learning how to not do that, to say, time out, no.
Yeah. And so there is quite a bit of education around this. I mean, I imagine that's what you do, is just understanding what's happening and why. So it's happening, why you're turning to those triggers. And then you help people sort of move through that and make another choice.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not that hard with a little bit of awareness. I mean, I think even just the bit that we've explained here, you know, all of a sudden you become aware of what's happening. And my friend, a partner that I used to have, used to call it the itchy feeling. It's that kind of, you want to crawl out of your own skin, or there's just something that, you know, you're like, oh, this doesn't feel right. Now, truthfully, it could be bigger signals. You get a little flutter in your belly, it's because your stomach and your brain are directly connected. There's a direct pipe. So there's something that your stomach is saying, hello, brain, right? There's something here that feels a little not so good. There may be other indicators, you know, that we might have. Some people might actually have a twitch or something that triggers that neurological reaction. So you start to recognize a little bit of that. I used to work with this one CEO, was a client. And one of his tells was literally, he would sit in his chair and start to swivel. Like, you know, you can see it on the screen here, but listeners, you know, like somebody's in their chair and they're just moving around or clicking a pen. That's that moment that they're not comfortable, that their confidence is being questioned. And so if you can recognize your own tell, your own signals, then you can do something about it.
Interesting. Have you learned anything about, I think sometimes, at least in my experience in working with clients, in terms of when their brainstem, so they're in that fear reactive space, that survival mode, fight, flight, freeze response. And sometimes what I find is they are getting confused as to, is this a real issue that I need to pay attention to? So is this my brainstem being hijacked, if you will, or is this a signal that I need to wake up and pay attention? I mean, either way, you're going to want to, well, in my world, it's a process, the emotions. A lot of triggers come up when people don't process what they feel. So that's sort of how I'm relating to this in the confidence realm. But what do you say to those people who might be confused in terms of, and a lot of times, from what I understand, triggers are can be memories, unconscious memories of traumas or things that remind you. So that's why we get into that space. So it might not even be the person, It might be that there, something there is reminding you of something else kind of thing. What do you say when they are unsure about turning those alarms off? Because how am I going to be safe, Alyssa? How am I going to pick up on a real threat if I turn that off?
Well, I'm not suggesting you turn it off ever. Those signals are there for your safety. I mean, it's like turning off your fire alarms. Why would you do that? Absolutely not. It's a way for you to recognize that something doesn't feel right or doesn't correlate, and we say, with your values, your needs, or your wants. So something's happening. Either you're doing something or something's being done to you that is in conflict with that. And so at least recognizing that and saying, okay, wait a minute. Now, what is important to you, what may seem like a monumental issue, or as you said, maybe there's some trauma or other memory that is causing it to be particularly painful, where for me, it would be like, really? Seriously? That's not such a big deal, right? That's where you have to make your own decision. Is it really something that you want to focus on and reconcile, and or just not? And one thing that I've learned, and it's not something that's easy, is oftentimes we create mountains out of molehills, right? Molehills. Mm. Like we're looking for the drama. And so if we can recognize that that's what it is, we can almost laugh at it.
It becomes overly inflated.
Absolutely.
Magnified, right?
Right. Yeah. And if you can't make that judgment yourself, ask a trusted advisor, a coach, a friend, a family member, whoever it is, and be like, should I be upset about it? And oftentimes people are going to say, you're being ridiculous, let it roll off your back, right? And it may be easier said than done. I realize that, but you start to find the patterns. You start to recognize the fact that a lot of these things that you're getting upset and wound up about probably aren't the best use of your energy. And as we get older, we actually get better at assessing that.
Mm. That makes sense. What do you find people are the least confident about? I mean, have you done a little bit of research? Do you take notes? And I know that you go around the world, right? Speaking on this to different corporations. What do you find comes up most often?
Well, there isn't really a most often, because different people have different issues. And of course, It could be just based on timing, life timing, and what happened. Sure. But it ranges, quite frankly. It could be, I'm afraid to speak up in a meeting. And afraid is a relative term there, because they may not be able to, right? They get locked in their brain, they get locked in their jaws or whatever it might be. So they just can't speak up in a meeting. Or there are certain activities presenting, this monumental fact that most people would rather die than present, right? Things like that really freak people out. It could be something as benign as there's a particular person that I'm terrified of, right? A toxic boss or a relative that I just, I lose my cool when I'm around. So it can really range. But, imposter syndrome, it's a confidence issue. People who are particularly, I mentioned before, arrogant, overconfident, they're all versions of not aligned confidence. So depends on who you're talking to, and it depends on the timing for sure.
That's interesting. I love the way that you reframe that. So people that are saying I'm dealing with imposter syndrome, what you're saying, it's really a confidence thing that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And they're gotcha. Yes.
I'm sorry for letting that cat out of the bag, because
Yeah. It's interesting, because this is Just Ask Spirit. So I do ask my guides a lot of things, but I did ask my guides about that one day. I said, tell me about this imposter syndrome thing. Yeah. And they said it's a fear of being seen, seen, heard, like a fear of being sort of, I can't remember, I channeled this a while ago, but basically imposter is underneath it all is a fear of wanting to be seen and heard, but also a fear of being seen and heard kind of thing. Wanting to get out there, but a fear. I don't know. That was my guides. That wasn't your fine research there.
Well, it brings it up a point that I think is really spot on with what we're talking about. We live in our own heads, right? So I see the world through my own eyes, through my own processing, my own neural networks, right? And if I'm seeing you know, perfect example, I call it the friends and family factor. If my mother, for example, is the CEO of some major corporation, I don't see her like that. I see her as mom. She's in my world, my orbit. I know her, you know, everything about her, how she wakes up and wears her sweats in the morning, like all that stuff is factored in. And so other people see her as the CEO and they're terrified of her. And I'm like, yeah, you should see her in the morning, right? So we see the world in a very biased way, but we don't recognize that. We see ourselves in the same way because other people will see us as perhaps this very competent, you know, senior, you know, deserving individual. And we're like, you should see me in the morning, right? So that's a part of the, that is really what imposter syndrome is. It's not being able to see ourselves as the rest of the world sees us. And so, you know, that's part of that signaling too, is when you're feeling that, go validate it, go find out from somebody else what the truth is. And the problem with imposter syndrome, along with a whole bunch of other syndromes, is that we give it a label and give people an excuse to just mull in it. If you're feeling not confident, whether it's because of imposter syndrome or something that happened yesterday or whatever it is, oftentimes our memories, our brains, maybe even the spirits do not give us the accurate truth because we live in our own head. So we have to really explore what's true, what's accurate, so that I can make a good decision about how I want to respond to that. That's what it's about.
Yeah, well, what's interesting to me, Alyssa, that we're used to hearing these conversations about confidence is we're used to hearing this narrative that it's about accomplishments, but I'm not hearing you say that.
Not at all. In fact, you know, I have a whole list of like myths, and that's one of them, is that the more you accomplish, yeah, you might be like, oh, you know, I have a PhD in this. So it doesn't mean you're going to be the best parent, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, 20 years later, you have the latest and greatest knowledge compared to somebody who just got a PhD. So it doesn't guarantee anything. We also get a lot of, you know, work harder, nose to the grindstone kind of thing. And, you know, things will get, you know, you'll achieve, it'll be fine. We also hear all these motivational people, right? Yeah. How many, I'm sure you've been on other people's podcasts, they're very rah-rah, like I did it, you can do it. My life is not your life, Sherrianna, and vice versa.
Yes. What you can do, so agree with that.
So all of that's just wrong. And so, you know, it is a skill. Confidence is a skill. It's something you can learn, but you don't learn it by being inspired by somebody else's achievement or your own, for that matter.
I love that. And so we are going to circle to the break in just a moment. And when we get back from the break, everyone, she's going to give us some tips about this confidence building thing. But in the meantime, the really getting clear about this brain thing, because that's really what I love about your work, is that it's science-based. So it's the frontal, and then the frontal lobes of the brain, there's two lobes there. What are we talking here in terms of, it's the brain part interests me. The confidence, how does this, it's the decision-making, that's the part you're talking about.
Yeah. So when we really focus in on the confidence process, if you will, the amygdala is a small part of the brain that sits right around the emotional, the area in our brain that processes our emotional data. And so it's tucked in right there, which is very important, because that fear that comes in is an emotional fear. And so it's really a trigger to that amygdala that says, something not good. Brainstem goes downstairs, brainstem runs into your spine. So again, you know, stomach, butterflies and all connected, neurologically wired. But the prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that's right behind your forehead, that's where all the calculations happen. And so confidence, as my book is called, Confidence is a Choice, is literally a decision. I am confident or I'm not confident. And if you're a scientist or somebody who remembers, you know, chemistry or any of the sciences back in the day you studied them, there's always a margin of error whenever we make a conclusion. So if you remember your bell curves, the variable, the outside, we would say we're confident within X amount of variation, or there is some amount of, there's a chance that my judgment is wrong. The experiment is not 100% foolproof. So we have to keep that in mind, that it's not absolute. You're never 100% confident, but you're confident enough that you're going to make a decision to do X or say Y. Or you're not confident and you need more information and you're not prepared to make that decision or make that action. So it's not a feeling. It's not a state of mind. It's not something you're born with. I said that before. Confidence is a decision. It's a choice.
And when is that how you define it? How do you define it? Okay. So confidence is a decision and it's a choice. And that's what your book is called. Confidence is a choice.
That's right. And it really is. Are you certain enough about the truth of whatever it is you're deciding you're confident about?
I love that. Are you certain enough about what you're deciding? And that's what makes you confident.
Absolutely.
I think that that sounds very, I like that. That lands very easily. We can all digest that. Good. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let that sink in a little bit more. And when we get back from the break, Alyssa's going to share some tips. But before we head out, her book is called Confidence is a Choice, and you can find her at theamericanconfidenceinstitute.com. We'll be right back after the break.
From the vibrant soul of Sherrianna Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Just Ask Spirit is a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her lineup of best-selling authors, healers, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Don't miss Sherrianna's remarkable insights from the divine at the end of every show.
Sherrianna Boyle is all about empowering you. Her life has centered around mindful approaches to healing the mind and body. Her main belief, your emotions matter. Processing them matters more. As a special and adjunct psychology professor, she is the author of 10 books that can help empower lives. From her new book on manifesting, Energy in Action, Emotional Detox, Emotional Detox Now, The Four Gifts of Anxiety, Mantras Made Easy, to the Conscious Parenting Guide to Childhood Anxiety, there is certainly a book there for you. Find yours at SherriannaBoyle.com.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Imagine if you had a daily practice for processing your emotions that could help you get through past and present challenges. Well, now you do. My new book, Emotional Detox Now, 135 self-guided practices to renew your mind, heart, and spirit, is out in the world. It includes my signature cleanse system, a mindful practice to help you clear all those toxic reactions so you can begin to feel joy, peace, and ease again. Grab your copy today at SherriannaBoyle.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Just Ask Spirit. Today, we are talking about confidence. And before the break, Alyssa here, my guest, who is the author of Confidence is a Choice. And that's how she defines it, everyone. She says that confidence is a decision. It is a choice. Are you certain enough about the truth of something? I love it. So now comes, how do we build confidence? How do we learn to be more confident and change the way our brain works?
Well, it goes back to something we talked about earlier, which is first and foremost, recognizing some of those triggers. So I'm going to give you a fun exercise, if you'll play along with me, Sharianna, about, it inside out pet peeves. And it helps you recognize at least some of those triggers in a very simple way. So,
okay, yes.
Be one of a pet peeve that you have, anything.
When my husband eats potato chips out of the bag.
Okay. I love it.
Well, when I'm watching TV, I don't care when he sits next to me and he crinkles that bag every 10 seconds. So I just say, I just say, give him a bowl. I say, just put it in the bowl. That does not bother me. It's not the chewing. It's the bag crinkle thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's a good one. We can play with that. That one's fine. It could be anything. You know, sometimes people chew with their mouth open, right? It could be anything, but crinkling the bag of the potato chips. All right.
Yes.
So I hate it when my husband eats the chips next to me and crinkles the bag. That's your pet peeve. Fair?
I wouldn't say I hate, but it drives me nuts. Okay. It bugs me. I mean, I a few times I don't mind, but when it keeps going on for a while and it distracts, especially during a movie, I'm one of those people I like to really get into a movie. Alyssa.
Okay. So now you know why it's annoying you because it's distracting you from watching
the movie. It's just, right? Yeah, I love the music. I love the acting. I like to feel it. I'm a feeler. Okay.
Okay. All right. Beautiful. Yeah. So now we're going to turn it inside out. We're going to turn that pet peeve. And this is what we do. We say, I really appreciate it when.
I really appreciate it when.
Now fill in the blank. What would you like him to do as a result?
When he gets up, when he puts the potato chips in a bowl.
Perfect. Very easy.
Yeah.
You can continue and explain because it doesn't distract me from really getting into the movie.
Because it doesn't distract me from really getting into the movie.
All right. So two things have happened there that are really powerful. One is you are saying, you know what? This is not okay with me. It bothers me. And you're empowering yourself to say that in a way that is not just formulaic, so to speak, but it's very clear. You know, if we say to somebody, I hate it when you do that, what are they going to do? They're going right into their brainstem. But when you say, I would really appreciate it when, you kind of keep them in a calm, neutral brainstem.
I just give them a bowl. I don't say anything.
Well, you could just give them a bowl, but you know what? It's not relieving that from you, right? You're already distracted. It's already,
he does get his own bowl now. I only had to do that once or twice.
But
yeah, he knows.
When you do. Yeah. The second thing that it does, and again, you know, particularly for people who have a hard time, you can't always get a bowl to fix the pet peeve, right? It might be, you know, you're not going to walk over and shut somebody's mouth if they're opening them, you know, if that's your pet peeve, that their mouth is open while they're chewing. So I really appreciate it when, and you tell the person what you'd like. And now what you're really doing is you're also telling them what you value. And if they are any kind of compassionate individual, growth-minded or otherwise, hopefully they're learning that this is important to you. That's why when you explain why, it wasn't just because you were annoying, you know, you're like demanding. It's because it distracts you from something that's important to you.
Yes.
So we have to, like, when we process it that way, we keep ourselves calm, we keep the other person calm, and we have a very good chance of training their brain so they don't do that again to tick us off. So that's inside out pet peeve, and it can work with any pet peeve.
I like that. So first you have to identify what a pet peeve, what drives you crazy, say it, acknowledge it, and then turn it around. I really appreciate it when da 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 da.
Correct. That's it. That's it.
Nice. I like that.
So that's like a nice one. And, you know, you start to realize what's like kind of irking you. And, you know, that's a way of identifying that signal and subsequently dealing with it in a product.
And the signals calm down. And I mean, that's, I'm trying to think of pet peeves. I mean, he gets the bowl on his own now.
You know, like I'll give you another one that I hear a lot.
Okay.
People are in a meeting and, you know, somebody says something, it's usually a woman, you know, I'm being a little bit aggregate here, but
yeah,
woman might say something and people don't react. And 10 minutes later, some man says it and everyone thinks he's a genius, right? We hear that a lot. or okay. being popped over, like people who do that. So again, it doesn't have to be like a snippety kind of pet peeve. It could be something of significance.
Now, what if it's a stranger? Because what I do have another pet peeve. When people put that darn speakerphone on mm-hmm. and you're, you know, you're shopping or you're in a restaurant and they're talking to their person next to them yeah. with the darn speaker on and you can hear everything. And you're just, that happened to me. I went to the most beautiful restaurant. It was so peaceful. The people were so lovely. The food was wonderful. And I had this person next to me on their speaker. And I'm thinking, how can you not look at this? This is the most beautiful place. And don't you see how beautiful this is? And it's like, anyway, so what would you say to something like that? It's a stranger.
Same thing. And, you know, like in those moments, we get that, like that, you know, we're angry because they're disrupting, they're violating.
What so I would really appreciate it if you would turn your speaker off.
I would really appreciate, I really appreciate it when, you know, like kind of think in that context, you know, I'm in a place like this that's so beautiful and serene that people don't have their speaker on, right? Mm-hmm. And again, when you take that moment to really kind of phrase it that way, it kind of calms you down, doesn't put them on high alert. Does it guarantee they're going to turn their speaker off? No, but if you go at them like, hey, turn that thing off.
Yeah.
You know, gotcha. They're going to go into defensive mode too. So we're sure. trying to keep everyone's amygdala a little bit more level. At the same time, you know, my thing is don't worry so much about other people, worry about yourself. And to get yeah. angry and upset about something like that, it's like one of those examples, like, just don't go there. Like, don't waste your energy. Enjoy the environment. But give it a try. See if you can get that person to realize, hey, you know mm-hmm. what? When I'm in an environment like this, I really appreciate when people don't have their speakers on.
Yeah. I changed my location in the position that I was in. So I'd have more distance, but yeah, I could try that. I could definitely try that. I think it takes confidence to try these things, Alyssa. I mean, that's the thing, you know, we get a little, I'm having such a nice, do I really want to have this engagement with this person? You know, we kind of get into this, is this worth my energy? Like you say, is this worth my time? That's kind of, we struggle with that. You know, do I say something? Do I not?
Here's the thing. You made decisions both times. Get the bowl, move away from the phone.
Yes.
Where you're
yes.
like, you know what? You're making a decision. Like, you know, I don't feel like dealing with this, but I'll just.
Yeah. Because that does require some energy. Just go address something, right? And you have to decide, is this worth
right.
that much energy? Yeah.
Right. But if you're gotcha. In a situation where you don't have those options and, you know, your only option is to.
Maybe you're on a, I don't know, sitting somewhere where you can't move or something. Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the meeting. Hey, I really appreciate when people let me finish my sentence.
Yeah. You know, I went to a class the other day. I'm really into Zumba right now.
Yay!
That is a confidence booster. Let me tell you, go to a Zumba class and listen to the music and dance. And I was feeling high as a kite after that. But anyway, I really appreciated the instructor said in the beginning of class, which I never would think this would happen, but perhaps it's happened to her. She said right in the beginning of class, if anyone gets a phone call, I just ask that you take it in the hallway. And then she said, and when I'm changing the music, could please everybody not start talking. It's distracting. I was like, I love this woman. I mean, she was setting boundaries. She was confident and she was calm. And it was wonderful because it calms everybody's amygdalas down. We don't
So use that as your example, and we're probably not getting into any more tips, but this one's a power tip.
So it's great.
But like, let's say somebody did start talking in the middle of class and they're standing next to you and they're trying to talk to you, right? You're not going to leave the class. You're not going to get them a bowl.
No, I'm not leaving Zumba.
No, but you're going to turn around and you can say, you know, I really appreciate it when people don't talk, as the instructor said. Right. If you said to her, if you said to your next door neighbor who's talking, you know, she said not to talk.
True.
It creates a problem for both of you. Right. Yeah. So again, it's language to kind of train the other person, but also keep you in a level set of mind.
Yeah. Those words, I really appreciate it when are very, very powerful words. I agree. You know, I mean, there's that old, always start a conversation with something positive too, you know, the appreciation. Do you have another tip you can squeeze in there?
Yeah, a really quick one. This one's another superpower tip is start building a confidence collection. And what that means is you can use any kind of file, can be on your computer, but better on your phone that you can access, and start sticking in there songs that jazz you up, quotes that jazz you up. Anytime somebody sends you a compliment or writes a testimonial or something that's positive about you, put it in that folder. Because the days that you're feeling a little bit kicked to the side, that folder, you open it up and you go, you know what? It's just a bad day. Or, you know, I gave a bad presentation today, but, you know, the last 20 and here's all the comments from that was, you know, out of the park. So have that handy. That can be not only the greatest recovery mechanism, but like the days that you want to go in and ask for a raise or you have to give a presentation, you know, it's that warm up that you get your brain in the place that goes, you know what? I really can do this.
I love that.
We call that a confidence collection, and anyone can do that.
Ooh, can you give us one more? We have one more minute here.
One more minute. All right.
Yeah.
So on the days where something really does go squirrely, right? Like you give a presentation and it bombs, or you get a bad promotion or whatever, a bad review or whatever it is, we have a thing called three little things, that any kind of thing that you can get to quickly. So my example is I have Wegmans Marathon Bread. They should pay me for every time I say this.
What is it?
It's a crunchy, nutty bread. It's a little bit pricey, so I keep some in the freezer.
Okay.
When I have that one of those bad days, I go, it's time for
eat a piece of bread.
Piece of marathon bread, right? It's not very high calories. It's small, but it's delicious. Toast it up. And here's what it does. It kind of has, it's like my like security blanket, right? It's like, oh, you know what? I've had marathon bread before and I survived. Everything was fine. And usually I don't even remember why I had marathon bread that last time. So why I'm having it now, I know is going to fade from my memory in the next, you know, days or two. So it's just that moment where you go, you know, it sucks right now, but it's going to be okay. So three little things, something that's very accessible. It's your go-to when things go squirrely, go sideways, don't go the way you want. It's a way to remind you, you know what? This is just part of life.
Oh, I love that. Those were some fabulous tips. And I imagine your book has lots of tips for us. And once again, everyone, her book is called, this is Alyssa, and her book is called Confidence is a Choice. You, and there's also seven other books there for you to check out at AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com. And I know you speak all over the world on this. So if anyone's looking for a professional speaker, Alyssa's your girl here. So check her out. Thank you so much for coming on Just Ask Spirit.
Oh, so pleasurable. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm going to come right back, everyone, after the break with some final thoughts. So hang in there.
From the vibrant soul of Sherrianna Boyle comes Just Ask Spirit on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Monday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Just Ask Spirit is a show that reflects Sherrianna's passion to get this world feeling again. Her belief, emotions are the gateway to the soul. Sherrianna and her lineup of best-selling authors, healers, and visionaries cover a variety of topics related to mental health and spirituality. Don't miss Sherrianna's remarkable insights from the divine at the end of every show.
Calling all authors. Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to dreamvision7radio.com.
Sherrianna Boyle is all about empowering you. Her life has centered around mindful approaches to healing the mind and body. Her main belief, your emotions matter, processing them matters more. As a special and adjunct psychology professor, she is the author of 10 books that can help empower lives. From her new book on manifesting, Energy in Action, Emotional Detox, Emotional Detox Now, The Four Gifts of Anxiety, Mantras Made Easy, to the Conscious Parenting Guide to Childhood Anxiety, there is certainly a book there for you. Find yours at SherriannaBoyle.com.
Ever wonder what it's like to have your own radio show? Well, wonder no longer, because you can dip into the radio airwaves by being host for the day on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. It's a fabulous way to get your radio feet wet. It's an opportunity to market your business, modality, or book. Have a guest, mention a sponsor, and take callers. Or you may want to facilitate a lesson by going solo. It's up to you. Listeners can be online, mobile, in cars with Bluetooth, or listen through Amazon's Echo by asking, Alexa, play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more details, go to dreamvision7radio.com and click on Host for the Day.
Imagine if you had a daily practice for processing your emotions that could help you get through past and present challenges. Well, now you do. My new book, Emotional Detox Now, 135 self-guided practices to renew your mind, heart, and spirit is out in the world. It includes my signature cleanse system, a mindful practice to help you clear all those toxic reactions so you can begin to feel joy, peace, and ease again. Grab your copy today at SherriannaBoyle.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Just Ask Spirit. Wow. That was a great show. I loved that conversation and talking about confidence, changing your brain. I love the tips that she offered in the end there, the appreciation. You can never hear some of these things enough, or I've heard it phrased in different ways. And I love the way that she integrated it into changing the brain, you know, building that confidence, going to the out of the brainstem there. You know what else can build your confidence? You know what else? Learning. Don't you find that the more that you learn, the more you grow, the more you understand, exposing yourself to different viewpoints, different ways of thinking, keeping an open mind, always learning and growing. I have found in my life that has helped build my confidence, and learning from a variety of different teachers. And I want you to know that I am teaching some classes. One I'm doing with Carmen Turner Shaw, our resident astrologer. We're doing a monthly new moon manifesting circle. And you can hop in that circle any month or come every month. It's fantastic, but you'll learn things about astrology. You're going to learn about yourself. You're also going to be guided through some energy healing practices and some emotional detox practices that I do there. Because for me, I can't learn if my emotions are all bottled up. I get agitated, fidgety, all of that stuff. As long as I'm processing my emotions, my brain is available. My higher insight and intuition is available. And you know, it's like any other relationship. You know, are they, people say, well, are they emotionally available? Well, are you emotionally available? Are we emotionally available? And if we're not processing our emotions, I don't know if we truly are fully, at least I wasn't for much of the time in my life. And I'm not talking about caregiving. I think sometimes we get that confused. We think, well, I'm taking care of everybody. I'm emotionally invested. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being emotionally available for people. So when you open up, and that helps with the understandings, with the compassion, with the learning. So I also want to highlight that piece. You know, it's interesting because I mentioned my husband, Paige Beg, but what I didn't say, because I don't like to take up my guests' airtime too much, but what I didn't say is my husband has a lot of compassion for me. What you might not know about me is I have some hearing loss. I actually wear hearing aids, and I'm in my 50s. So all you folks in your 70s who have hearing loss, they aren't wearing hearing aids, get the darn hearing aids. They help immensely. But yes, I have some significant enough where I wear them. So he does understand that when I say that bag, because when you wear hearing aids, things get magnified. So the crinkling of the bag is actually louder for me because I've got these, it's like having little megaphones on sometimes. So he has a lot of compassion and he's very emotionally available for those kinds of conversations because there's an understanding there. We've been educated on it. I've been educated on it. He's been educated. And therefore I find that there's this mutual respect that comes with that. So those are some of my thoughts. But in terms of learning, again, you're going to find the New Moon Manifesting Circle. I'm also teaching about the archangels, the beloved archangels. I'm teaching one virtual. Just look on there or email me and find out when the next live one is running. Everything comes with replays. And learning about the archangels will change your life. They have changed mine. And so anyway, you learn so much when you learn about the archangels. It's not just about the angels. It's about how to connect with them. And that in itself is a whole school of learning. And it really is transformative. So I hope that you check those things out at SherriannaBoyle.com. Go to Just Ask Spirit Marketplace. That's where you're going to see that as well as my monthly membership, where that's another place you can learn and grow every week with me. And I hope that you do. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. Thanks for tuning in to Just Ask Spirit. And hey, you know, I really appreciate it. I really appreciate it when you tune into Just Ask Spirit. I do. And I really appreciate it when you subscribe to the show. It means a great deal to me that you are there and that this content is means something to you and that people are listening. Okay. All right. Love you all. Take care. Your emotions matter. Processing them matters more.
Thank you for listening. Join Sherrianna next time to continue this remarkable journey of discovering the amazing power of your emotions. Reach out to Sherrianna directly on SherriannaBoyle.com. Share your comments and ask your Just Ask Spirit questions. Until next time, remember, your emotions matter. Processing them matters more.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.